from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I knew this day was going to come eventually. It was just really a matter of time, especially when you've been following a lot of the social media influencers over the past couple of years now. Hello, everybody. First of all, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am your host, Todd Starnes. And one of the things that you can, and a lot of people can say a lot of things about me, shockingly, a lot of people have over the years. But one of the things they can never say about Todd Starnes is that he has changed his views on any of his foundational beliefs. That has just, it just never has happened, and it never will, because those are the beliefs that make me who I am. Now, you may not like everything I say. For example, our Jerry the Liberal out in Milwaukee, one of our regulars on the show. And I get that, and that's fine. But at the same time, you do have to respect the fact that my belief system has gone unaltered. In other words, I'm not paid to share an opinion with you. And over the past, I don't know, it's been 7 or 8 months now, we have seen a lot of these so-called social media influencers, the MAGA crowd, and they've turned on Donald Trump. And I have a couple of theories about that that I want to share with you, because it's getting really ugly right now. And I think we're entering a very dangerous time in American history, and especially the Trump presidency. And I want to explain what I mean by that, because there are a lot of people up on Capitol Hill that do not like our president. They hate our president. As a matter of fact, there are some people who on camera will tell you that they are America first, they're pro-Trump, but in private, behind the scenes, they are anything but that. But they're trying to protect their political, whatever political influence they might have, he or she. So the reality is, if the polling turns sour for the president, and if enough of these so-called conservative social media influencers, the MAGA crowd, if they begin to turn on Trump, it's going to give those lawmakers cover. And that is why I say this is a very dangerous period right now for the Trump administration. And I'm talking about people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, and the list goes on and on. By the way, if you notice how Megyn Kelly's backing up a little bit, you know why? Because she was losing influence. So she's trying to re-embrace herself, reconnect with the conservative world. You see how the game is being played here, folks. So the reality is that I think Alex Jones and Tucker and all of these folks, I think they smell blood in the water here. They feel like Trump is back on his heels, and now they are calling for Trump to be removed from office. As a matter of fact, Alex Jones has made an abrupt turn. I want you to listen to what he said just a few days ago about the president, and then what he said yesterday about the president. Cut 12, please.
When your ankles swell up three times the size they were before, that means heart failure. And he does look sick. And he does babble and, you know, sound like the brain's not doing too hot. And so we just cut bait on Trump, and we just mobilize against the Democrats. And we mobilize against neocons, we primary them, and we just fight even harder, because look at how we've turned the tide. Look at all the good we've done. There's a fourth turning. Populist, nationalist, conservatives are winning everywhere. There's a Christian reawakening. And Trump is just a minor figure in all of that now. And we have to be appreciative of the old Trump that went through so much and got so much done. And that's the Trump we remember. And we're just sad because that happens. We need to be sad about Trump. This is not funny. This is not good. But he's gone. And that's it. And all the people rallied around him. You can see Hegseth freaked out. You can see the press secretary's freaked out. They're being loyal. They think it's the lesser of two evils. And I just, Trump needs intervention. He needs to take some time off. We need to pray for Trump. The Holy Spirit touch his heart and loose him from whatever evil control he's under. I'm serious. And I think that's the answer. We need to pray for President Trump. We need to pray for other people to be awakened. We need to pray for justice and peace.
So he goes on, and then yesterday, here's what Alex Jones had to say about the process of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would require the vice president and the cabinet to remove President Trump from office. Take a listen to Cut 13.
Compared to existential threat, how do we 25th Amendment is asked?
The problem is to get the 25th Amendment is harder than impeachment. You have to get 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate.
So what do we do?
Tackle Trump and pretend, let him pretend he's president and publicly report that he's going through a health issue and Vance take over. It literally needs to be something like that. It's that bad.
I've known you a long time. You've never called for an internal coup before.
Ever. But that's how dangerous this is. That's how risky it is for the whole world.
Yeah, if I was the Democrats, I'd stop poking Trump and messing with him. That only makes it worse. Like, you guys need to watch out. This isn't a guy acting like he's crazy. This is real.
What's there going to be to take over in 2026 or 2028 if this hits the fan? If we get it, he's threatening an extinction level event for the people of Iran tomorrow. Dude, does nobody think there'll be any blowback from that? If he follows through on that, the whole world is screwed.
All right. So panic has ensued, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, Marjorie Taylor Greene is enraged over all of this, and she is demanding that Donald Trump be removed from office. Of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I want to read what Trump wrote, by the way. This is what set everybody off, and I'm just curious, do you share these concerns that a lot of folks have about Donald Trump? Do you have any concerns about his mental state? I want to read to you what he wrote. I'll read it, and then I'll give you some commentary on it. This is what Trump wrote on True Social that has caused a firestorm. Trump says a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. I don't want that to happen, but it probably will. However, now that we have complete and total regime change, where different, smarter, and less radicalized minds prevail, maybe something revolutionarily wonderful can happen. Who knows? We will find out tonight, one of the most important moments in the long and complex history of the world. 47 years of extortion, corruption, and death will finally end. God bless the great people of Iran. And the reality is that you've got a lot of people out there in Iran that are asking, begging, pleading with the president, bomb us to the Stone Age, just get rid of these guys. And the Iranian people are in a really tough spot right now because they've got no weapons to fight back. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, hear me on this. All of you folks who own guns, you get on your knees and you thank God that you live in a country where you are allowed to own firearms. You are allowed to own ammo. And that's the one saving grace. That's one of the reasons why the Democrats have never been able to take over our country, is because most of us, at least in the southern states, are armed to the teeth. But a lot of people in this MAGA world are just enraged. Marjorie Taylor Greene also upset over what Trump had to say on Easter Sunday. He said, Tuesday will be power plant day, bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran. There will be nothing like it. Open the blanking straight, you crazy bastards. Or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah, President Donald J. Trump. And MTG is enraged over this. And she goes, on Easter morning, she wrote this. This is what President Trump posted. Everyone in his administration that claims to be a Christian needs to fall on their knees and beg forgiveness from God and stop worshiping the president and intervene in Trump's madness. So they believe that the president's gone mad here. I know all of you and him, and he has gone insane, and all of you are complicit. I'm not defending Iran, but let's be honest about all of this. The strait is closed because the U.S. and Israel started the unprovoked war against Iran based on the same nuclear lies they've been telling for decades, that any moment Iran would develop a nuclear weapon. You know who has nuclear weapons? Israel. Well, let me stop right here. This woman's a moron. Going back all the way to 1979, when Iran took over our embassy, held Americans hostage. A few years later, they blew up the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. There was no payback for that. So this idea that we're going out there, that Trump is going out there and starting a war, is just simply lunacy. And this woman knows that. She's not that stupid. She says they are more than capable of defending themselves without the U.S. Having to fight their wars, kill innocent people and children, and pay for it. Trump threatening to bomb power plants and bridges hurts the Iranian people, the very people Trump claimed he was freeing. And she goes on to say that this is not making America great again. This is evil. So I'm just curious to hear from you today, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe that what Trump is doing here is evil? Do you believe that Donald Trump is a madman? Do you believe that he is under the control of the Israelis? Is that what you believe is happening here? Now, I want to play this before we go to break, that Tucker Carlson is really upset about all of this, and he's especially upset that Trump is mocking Islam. I want you to take a listen to Cut 5, please.
Who do you think you are? You're tweeting out the F word on Easter morning? You'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah. So obviously you're mocking the religion of Iran. Okay. If you seek a religious war, that's a good idea. But by the way, no decent person mocks other people's religions. You may have a problem with the theology. Presumably you do if it's not your religion, and you can explain what that is. But to mock other people's faith is to mock the idea of faith itself. And we should never mock that, because at its core is the acknowledgement that we are not in charge of the universe. We did not build it. We won't be here at the end of it. We can destroy life. We cannot create it because we are not God. The message of all faith at the biggest picture level is the message in our Bible, which is you are not God. And only if you think you are do you talk this way. But it's not just mockery of Islam. And no president should mock Islam. That's not your job. This is not a theocracy. We don't go to war with other theocracies to find out which theocracy is more effective. We are not a theocracy. And God willing, we never will be, because theocracies corrupt the religion. No, this is a mockery, not just of Islam. It's a mockery of Christianity. To send out a tweet with the F word on Easter morning promising the murder of civilians and then saying praise be to Allah without explaining any of it, you are mocking me and every other Christian because we're Christians. We can't support that. That is evil. That is an intentional desecration of beauty and truth, which is the definition of evil.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is Tucker Carlson, who, along with Alex Jones and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and all of them, have done a complete about-face on every single one of their beliefs, including about President Trump. Who do you stand with here, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926, our number. We're going to the phones. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody. Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Starnes. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This segment brought to you by our good friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Great wireless coverage. And if you mention my name, they're going to give you a full month of service free of charge. Well, let's go right away to our phone lines. As promised, we will start the day in South Mississippi. Paul, listening to us on the great WPMO, great radio station. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
I enjoy listening to your show, but I'm going to stand with my president. He's the only one that ever had guts. He's the only one that's never scared to say Jesus. And all these other people, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a quitter. You can listen to Tucker Carlson and when he laughs, I've always knew he was nuts. No, I'm going to stay with my president.
Paul, it was the laugh, was it? It's a weird laugh for a grown man to have a laugh like that. Something's not right there. That front porch light may be on, but nobody's home.
He's always done that. I've always knew he was nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and Marjorie, she quit. She just quit on her people. You know, who are these people to come out and... And that other guy, that Jones guy.
Yeah, Alex Jones.
I never listened to him. I'm not going to now. You know, these people, they need to stay with our president. I mean, he's done everything bust.
Paul, let me say something about that. And I'm with you. I have been with the president from day one, and I have not wavered. And here's the reason why. The man took a bullet in the ear for me and for every other freedom-loving American. They nearly tried to kill the guy at least twice that we know of. So that guy, I'm always giving him the benefit of the doubt.
That's it.
That's it. Paul, God bless you, and thank you for listening to our friends down there. Good buddy Noah Britt, great American patriot, and we just love the great radio crowd we have down in South Mississippi. Well, let's go to North Mississippi. Kathy is listening to us in Byhalia on KWAM 107.9. Hi, Kathy. What's on your mind today?
I'm with you. I listen to you in the radio. I'm a real estate agent, so when I'm driving to and from houses, I listen to you. I stand behind you. I stand with our president. If people don't realize what happened on Easter morning, I appreciate everything you do, Todd, and I appreciate you speaking the truth.
Kathy, look, I'm a Baptist, so I can say this about my people. I know a lot of Baptists were upset about President Trump and the language. Clearly, they have never been to a Wednesday night church business meeting, because you try to change the carpet in a church, let me tell you, you're going to hear some salty language.
I'm a Baptist, too. I get it. Do I like you saying those words? No.
Of course not.
I wasn't in his shoes. We don't know what he goes through. How many people were at the cross on Sunday? Who was the first person there? Mary Magdalene. And who was the first person Easter morning? Mary Magdalene. If we all look at ourselves like that, we would understand.
Kathy, well said. By the way, give your real estate. What's your real estate company? Want to give us a shout out?
Carlite.
Well, all right. You just did it on national radio, Kathy. God bless you.
God bless you, Todd Starnes.
All right.
God bless you.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for calling. Be safe out there on the roadways. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. The question is very simple. Do you stand with the president, or have you had a change of heart? And look, there's nothing wrong with having a difference of opinion with the president. Do I agree with him on everything? Absolutely not. But I do believe what this man is doing, and he is our leader. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
When it's time to scale your business, it's time for Shopify. Get everything you need to grow the way you want, like all the way. Stack more sales with the best converting checkout on the planet. Track your cha-chings from every channel, right in one spot.
and turn real-time reporting into big-time opportunities. Take your business to a whole new level. Switch to Shopify. Start your free trial today.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we've got a lot of folks on hold. Hang tight. We're going to get to your calls. Don't go anywhere. But I do want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome into the conversation a good friend, retired Brigadier General John Tykert. We call him Dragon. John, good to have you with us today. And I'm going to be, this is not going to be softball questions today, my friend, but because there's a lot of heavy stuff that's about to happen.
Well, Todd, bring it on. I'm ready for the tough stuff.
All right, good stuff. Well, you know, there's a lot of concern over, there's a lot of concern over what's been happening with the war in Iran right now. The president giving a deadline, 8 o'clock tonight. And then he said, the president writing earlier today, that we could see a civilization wiped out. Do you consider that? Would that be considered a war crime?
Todd, I don't think the president is going to go beyond the rhetoric in that particular situation. But I do think there's going to be escalation that starts tonight, because there's two things thus far that we have not done or that we have not touched. We have not struck Iran's ability to export oil, which is the lifeblood of the regime. And I think that is going to start tonight. He talks about power plants, the president does. He talks about rail lines. He might do some of that. But I think he's going to focus on what is the thing that funds the regime, and that is their oil in Karg Island. And I think there's going to be pretty intense strikes. I don't think a ground invasion, but strikes on Karg tonight. And then the other element that we haven't seen thus far is the United States military going after targets that can facilitate regime change. Israel has focused on those types of targets, leadership targets, command and control targets, or internal security targets. And I think starting tonight, we're going to use the might of the U.S. military to help in those two areas, either to foster regime change or something I call regime enlightenment, which is them understanding it's in their best interest to open up the strait and yield to our interests.
You know, it's a very troubling thing. There's some video. And again, I think if you're watching a lot of the video on social media, you have to really do your homework. But this particular video, if it is authentic, shows children being put on bridges in key areas of Iran. The idea that this regime would use children on those bridges is beyond evil, in my estimation.
Todd, it is, but it's really sadly not a surprise that they mowed down 45,000 of their own citizens a few months ago. They likely took captive another tens of thousands. And there have been two primary characteristics of this regime for the last 47 years. They repress or suppress at home, and they threaten abroad. And they are just evil to the core. And I really hope that we do use the might of the United States military to start fostering conditions for regime change, because not only would it be good for the 90 million people who live in Iran, but it would be good for the rest of humanity. And I think that we have a chance to do that starting tonight.
You know, I want to go back to what happened over the weekend. And of course, I also want to give you, I always boast about your credentials, which are impeccable. Give our listeners a little taste of your career in the Air Force.
Absolutely, Todd. I was an F-15E combat pilot, and then I was an F-22 test pilot. And then my last four jobs, I commanded the President's Airfield at Joint Base Andrews. I commanded Edwards Air Force Base, which is where our test and evaluation of all of the fancy new technology gets evaluated. And then I was our nation's senior defense official to Iraq, deployed for 14 months during the height of COVID and the height of attacks on Americans, by the way, by Iranian-aligned groups in Iraq. And then I ended as the leader of international affairs for the Air Force and the Space Force. And I'll tell you, just considering what happened this weekend with the shootdown of that F-15E and my two brothers-in-arms, a pilot and a weapons system officer behind enemy lines. And, you know, fighter pilots have heroes too, Todd. And they're the combat search and rescue personnel that fly into the teeth of danger to pick us up when we have a really bad day. And they did all of that brilliantly this weekend.
When you were training and early on in your training, did you go through the same sort of training, the search and evasion training that these pilots got?
Todd, I did, and it was some of the three most grueling weeks of my life. It's called SEER: survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. And fortunately, they didn't need to get to the resistance and escape because that's only once you've been captured. But how do you survive behind enemy lines for 1 day, 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 months? And then how do you actively evade an entire country's worth of personnel who are looking for you? And the pilot and the WISO executed that training in an absolutely incredible fashion. But again, I go back to those CSAR personnel, the combat search and rescue, and they are incredible. And I think what is maybe most impressive about what happened this weekend is that not only did they fly into the teeth of danger, but they did so with a range of contingencies already accepted and understood. And when things didn't go perfect, they adjusted and they reflexively understood that they accomplished their mission even when things weren't exactly nominal or as planned. And it, again, is just making me so proud to be a part of that community where I came from and knowing that those CSAR personnel are always out there and always ready to pick someone up.
We're so honored to have Brigadier General John Tykert with us today to talk about events that have been unfolding over the past couple of weeks. You know, General, I think it was thought it was really interesting that back at the Situation Room, it's our understanding that President Trump and the War Secretary were there through every single bit of this. And also there was a communication line open to the weapons officer. So they were monitoring him through this entire episode.
Todd, I love the top cover that was being provided by the administration, but maybe the most impressive thing is that you heard nothing from the administration or the Pentagon or U.S. Central Command. And that was necessary because anything they would have said could have tipped the hand of what was going on. It's called operational security, and ruined the opportunity to pick up that WISO safely. But when you parachute down on the ground, you have a encrypted radio. You have a beacon, and no doubt our friendly forces all the way up to the White House were monitoring the general location, eventually the specific location, and then getting bursts of communication to understand that that weapon system officer was okay, and then eventually arranging a situation where it was optimal to go pick him up.
You know, it makes you wonder. I mean, this guy was, I mean, probably a few years younger than us, but he's a colonel, and but he was an older guy. And seriously injured, from what we understand. We don't have any details on the actual injuries. But I can't even imagine what it took for this guy to travel. I don't, we had heard maybe 5 miles or so. I don't know how long of a distance he had to travel to get to safety. It's just remarkable.
The chairman talked about in the press conference yesterday about how his will to survive and evade got him through some really tough times. And, you know, as an aircrew member, one of the things that's going through your mind in that situation is, hey, it's rough right now, and I am injured, and I am tired, and I am scared, but it's a lot better than being captured by the Iranians. And so I know the drive to survive and evade and come back with honor was in the forefront of his mind, and that drove him up steep cliffs and miles of hiking and in tough conditions, and then eventually being ready to be picked up.
I know you have served under multiple presidents, including Democrats. What are you hearing? Can you compare what it was like serving under Republicans as opposed to Democrats? Is there a difference, at least, you know, on the base level?
I don't think at the base level there is, other than the important fact that we have seen recruiting numbers skyrocket. I actually think after this weekend, they're going to go through the roof because people want to be part of an organization that is as capable and committed as the U.S. military. But really what you focus on at the base level is, you know that you are trained and you are prepared to execute the mission. You trust the people around you to do the same. And really it's that bond of comradeship within the unit as you accomplish the mission and your commitment to one another that is your focus, whatever happens in Washington, D.C.
I know you talked about this on the TV show. We had you on our Newsmax show last night, and you've got to be super proud as a dad also, because I understand your daughter is in the Air Force Or is that the
main? She is. She's a brand new second lieutenant. She commissioned out of Baylor University in ROTC. And 9 days ago, Todd, I dropped her off at pilot training. But here's something that's important for your listeners to understand, that even on Friday, when we didn't know the disposition of the pilot or the WISO, I never had thoughts of concern for the future of my daughter, because I knew she would be well-trained, well-prepared, well-exercised, well-equipped. Everyone around her would be the same, and she would be committed to their well-being, and they would be committed to her. And even on her worst day, if she had to punch out, they would come get her. And I'm not saying that with the bravado of a fighter pilot. I'm saying that with the humility as a dad. And it's true that our force is amazing, and I'm super proud that she's a part of it.
All right, 8 o'clock tonight. We're looking at the clock ticking away. How do you see all of this going? Clearly, we're sort of guessing here, but how do you see this playing out tonight? You think we're going to start seeing things blow up at 8 o'clock or 8:01?
Todd, first of all, we've got 7 hours before that point, and I think that the Iranians have to be considering that President Trump's threats are credible. And I hope that tips the scales of their strategic calculus, since they start negotiating in good faith and making a deal. But if not, the president's threats are credible, and frankly, his credibility is on the line. And unless there's a pathway to peace that meets our interests, he almost has to start striking. And like I said, I hope that it is striking energy resources to strangle the finances of the regime and striking targets that can facilitate the opportunity for regime change. But I do think that starting shortly after 8 o'clock, it won't be a ground invasion. It will be a strategic bombing campaign focused on those two areas.
All right. Before we let you go, General, we have to end on a light note. And I don't know if you had a chance to see the president's remarks at the annual Easter egg, the White House Easter egg roll. But the image of President Trump talking about the war in Iran while the Easter bunny is standing right alongside of him. Only in America does that happen, General.
Yeah, Todd, I didn't see it, but I've seen memes and pictures about it. And I almost can't reconcile in my brain what is real and what is Memorex in a situation like that.
Absolutely. All right, General, we know you're a busy man. Everybody in America wants you on their radio shows and cable TV shows, and we appreciate that you make time for us.
Todd, thanks for being my friend, and keep leading well.
All right, the great general, everybody, John Tykert. We call him Dragon. And by the way, he's written some great books as well. Tykert, T-E-I-C-H-E-R-T. Go online, and you'll be able to get his books at Amazon or wherever you buy your books. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've got to take a quick break. We're going right to the phones. So, again, if you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That number again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses, just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount, the numbers, 29.com. Secretaccount29.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. Hey, coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Bunny Pounds. She is the founder and president of Christians Engaged, and she is behind an incredible thing that's happening in Washington. America Reads the Bible. This is April 18th. We are going to be streaming nationwide as people read through verbally God's Word. That's going to be pretty awesome, and we're going to be talking to Bunny Pounds about that. Also, Josh Jones joining us in the next hour to talk politics. But right now, to the phone lines we go. Boyd in Newport, North Carolina. Hi, Boyd. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. First of all, I just want to say God bless you for standing up. And
thank you.
I want to say that I'm a born again Christian, and I'm not perfect. We're not perfect, and it really hurts me that Alex Jones and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the others are wanting to get rid of President Trump just because of something he said. I mean, we're not, none of us are perfect, and we're all forgiven. And I think we all ought to be on our knees praying for him rather than stabbing him in the back.
You know, Boyd, what do you say about, you know, and again, the president has never really changed his position. We had a guy, his name is Digital Valdosta, and he wrote in on our YouTube live stream, in our chat. He says, I stand with Trump. He hasn't changed with the changing tides like your typical politician. We can look at statements he's made years before even considering running, and he's still the same guy. Boyd, I think that's true.
Yeah, I do too. And of course, I don't go along with everything he says, but we have to have forgiveness in our hearts for it. And another thing that I wanted to say, too, about what Tucker Carlson said about President Trump not being a Christian because he didn't put his hand on the Bible. My wife and I were watching the inauguration, and I said something then. They didn't give him a chance, or didn't give Melania a chance to get over to him to hold the Bible for him to put his hand on. They rushed him.
Well, fair enough. But even then, that is not some sort of a legal requirement. And I think to your point, it certainly appeared, and I know what you're talking about, but he did place his hand on the Bible for the 2017 inauguration. So that concerns me, Boyd, when you have those kinds of accusations being thrown about. And that tells me that Tucker and the others are just not being fair arbiters of all of this.
You know, they got to realize they're not perfect, too.
No, that's true. We are all sinners saved by grace.
That's for sure. And we didn't elect a pastor to run the country. We elected a president to run the country.
Yeah.
And that's what they need to remember.
Yeah, 1,000% right. All right, Boyd, thank you for holding on, and God bless you, sir. Thank you for those kind words. Let's go to, we'll go to Mark at the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you? Have you been watching the Fox News, the breaking news, where
well,
in Iran they're forming the chains now?
Well, we've been busy doing a radio show, my friend, but we have we did report on that a little while ago. We were getting General Tankard to weigh in on it.
Yeah, so now, is there a way to take those power plants out without killing them?
I mean, if those
people are afraid for their own life.
So, look, one of the things I did question about the president, and I stand with him, I just question announcing you've got until 8 o'clock, because that tells me if I'm Iranian, Trump's a man of his word, so we're going to do whatever is necessary between now and 8 o'clock Tuesday to thwart his plans, you know, the agenda. So, yeah, I don't know how they're going to get around that, but I'm fairly certain Donald Trump is not going to be blowing up children on bridges.
And I agree with you, and that was a question, too. Why did he have to tell everybody 8 o'clock? I mean, I wouldn't have said any time at all. I would have just done it, and now they've got them forming around there, and now the thing is, how are we going to do it? And I don't think he's going to either, but there's got to be a way to take those plants out without harming them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless you put ground troops in there to go at them and take them out of there so that they don't get harmed. I don't know.
Well, we had General Tykert on, and this guy's smart as a whip when it comes to strategy, and he believes 801, we're going to start having bombs falling from the skies. I think that's what's going to happen. Mark, I've got to run, my friend, but it is a disturbing development. All right, everybody on hold. Don't go anywhere. You are up on deck, but we do have to take a quick break. And if you want to get on the air, well, we've got a couple of lines open, 901-260-5926. We've got Bill in Memphis, Charles in North Carolina, Mark in Tennessee. Hang tight, guys. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, this is sort of exciting. You know, Dylan, we're making a lot of changes, a lot of upgrades in what we're doing here on the radio show. And one of the things that we've been focusing on is the digital side. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we want to see what you guys look like. And we are we're upgrading our video capability, and we've got some new staff on board. They're doing that. And one of the things, Dylan, it's been fun to watch the audience grow on our YouTube channel. And we actually hang out with folks like in between the commercial breaks and do a little bit of chatting back and forth.
It is fun. It's always fun to do new things, and more people want to see your face, Todd. So, you know, that's just proof since there are more people here.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yes. I mean, this is the breaking news.
Oh my God.
So, I heard back from, you know, they sent us the sample via the lip balm people.
Yeah.
And I call them chapstick, but it's really lip balm.
Yeah, it's better.
It sounds more official and more like Gen Z, I suppose.
Sure.
So anyway, they said, you know, we've noticed your lips and, you know, we'd like to send you some of our product. Would you be an influencer for us? And I'm like, geez, Lou, I've never been an influencer for lip balm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that my lips are, you know, they're luscious. I mean, what can I say?
No
and
comment.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, I went in my delivery on the radio, people are always saying you have just you have a full figured voice. You know, it's well-rounded.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's because of the lips.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, they said, we love your lips and we would love for you to be one of our influencers. Would you consider? And so they sent us the lip balm and we all tried it, right? I mean, it was really good stuff, except for Helen.
Yeah. Helen did not get to try it. We only had a few.
Tingly. But hold on. It was tingly. But yeah. Hold on. You were being very generous because what you did, you took out your handkerchief and you wiped off the top of the lip balm.
That's it.
And you said, Helen, here, now you can try it. But
I actually
she still
offered
didn't want to
chop off the edge where I put it with a knife. And then,
she
you know,
said
roll.
No.
She said no. So it's actually on her. It's her fault.
It tasted like, it's what, spearmint and coconut Pepper. Oils.
Yeah.
It's really clever.
Really nice.
So anyway, they said, what did you think? I said, I loved it. It's great. They go, will you be our influencer?
You're a star.
Now we have to ask people, should Todd Starnes actually become a spokes dude for a lip balm company?
You don't see a lot of it, so why not? You could
Todd,
be first.
Todd Starnes here, America. If you want manly, luscious lips, I could do it. I think we're going to do it. We're going to do it. They're sending me, get this, a full year supply of the lip balm.
Wow.
And
they'll never run out.
I get a commission on whatever we sell.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, but it's cool.
It's completely weird. I'm just saying. So all that to say, head over to YouTube and you can check out my lips and have a conversation. So there you go. Todd Starnes is the name of the YouTube channel, and you'll see our show live there. Also, by the way, want to encourage you. We're going right to the phone, so hang tight, everybody. But I do want to remind you that you need to pre-order my brand new book. It's going to be in bookstores May 29th. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And this is, you know, I've written a lot of books. This is book number 9 for me. And this is an important book. It's about a little over 300 pages. And it takes us through what we've experienced as a country. And we sort of pivot and take a look at where I believe we are going and what we can do to maintain that idea of being a shining city on a hill, of being a country that lives perpetually in a golden age. How do we make that happen? And so I explore a lot of those themes in the book, and we have a lot of fun. And I want you to read it. I want you to get a copy of this, buy one for a friend. If you have a college student or a high school student, I want you to get them a copy of this book. And you can do that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Let me just say this. If you have an independent bookstore in your town, in your community, why don't you go do some business with those folks? That's a hard business, and it really is a blessing to have a locally owned bookstore in town. So you be sure to do that. All right. Again, the big story, 8 o'clock tonight, President Trump says a civilization will be wiped out. We will see what happens between now and then. The Iranians have cut off all correspondence and conversation with the United States and negotiators. So are we locked in? Who knows? We shall wait and see. But right now, I do want to go to the phones. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in. First, let's go to Charles in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Charles, good to have you with us today. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. So I wish the president would have used a better choice of words than saying you're going to wipe out a civilization that's never going to come back. But you mentioned at the outset of your program today, just about the divide kind of in MAGA with Steve Bannon and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alex Jones. And I don't listen to Alex Jones or anything, but I do listen to Steve Bannon and Tucker Carlson, and I have for years. And I think what the angst is, Todd, in the MAGA movement is that Trump is going to lose sight of the real reason that people elected him, which was to not only keep us out of foreign wars, but it was to drain the swamp, kick out illegals, secure our elections, and hold those people accountable that tried to throw him and people like me in jail. Throughout history, presidents start out with an agenda, and then they get pulled away into foreign policy things like war. And I think that's what people are really concerned about and worried about. When I turn on Fox News now, Todd, all they talk about is this war. And this is the same network that before Trump was reelected in 2024, they wouldn't even have him on the show. They totally disassociated themselves with him back after January 6th when people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson were standing with him. And you look who they profile now. It's the Lindsey Graham. It's all the neocons. And so people like me are just really concerned that Trump is going to lose sight of the domestic agenda. We're going to see prices, inflation again, perpetual involvement, and that nothing is going to get accomplished that we elected him to do. The deportations, the radicalization and indoctrination of our youth, cutting government spending. I mean, the budget deficit for the first 6 months of this year, 2026, God, was $1.3 trillion. I mean, that is insane. And it's just like people have stopped talking about domestic issues, and it's just like with this war in Iran, it's like talking about a football game that people are just getting all, sitting around the TV eating their popcorn and getting ready to watch.
Charles, here's how I do have my popcorn, and I do have a six-pack of Dr. Pepper, and I am going to be watching tonight. But I don't mean to minimize what is about to happen, but I think we need to understand the context here, that President Trump had access to whatever intel that you and I have not seen yet. And it's sort of like if a tornado is about to bear down on your community, you're going to stop what you're doing and you're going to take whatever actions are necessary to safeguard your family. And that may be putting everybody in a shelter or in the bathtub or under a mattress or whatever. And that's what I see Trump doing here. I think that he is a guy, and I know that he is a guy because I've seen it firsthand. He's a guy that can multitask. I think he's not losing sight of anything here. But I do think that he saw Iran as a clear and present danger to the United States of America. And let me say this, Charles. There's new video footage coming out of Iranian officials. This was from back in January, warning parents that their children would be shot dead if they were caught protesting the Iranian regime. Now you have civilians that have been sent out to form a human chain to protect a power plant. You've got children that are being forced to stand on bridges. And these MAGA influencers, Charles, are telling us that those are the rational people and Donald Trump is being irrational. And I just don't buy that one bit.
Well, the Iranians, I mean, Todd, you and I have both seen, since 1979, how they've behaved. and the rhetoric that's come out of Tehran and the actions, like the, you know, the blowing up of those the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon in 1983, and there's certainly there's certainly a problem. That being said,
here's the thing, Mark. Charles. Here's the thing, and I greatly respect you. And you come every time you call into the show. We have a great conversation, and you bring a lot of knowledge to the show, and I appreciate that. And you and I are going to disagree on this issue, but I think the conversation you and I are having, it's too soon. And because my caveat has always been, this has got to happen, and it's got to happen quickly. We cannot have a prolonged conflict. We cannot have boots on the ground in Iran. And if that happens, we are all going to be in a world of hurt. But we're not there yet. And Trump hasn't said anything about putting boots on the ground. I think he's leaving all of the options open. But I think where we are at right now, Charles, let's see what happens. And Donald Trump is playing a psychological game with not only the Iranians, but I think the entire world right now. And I think we need to give this guy a little bit of leeway here.
Well, and Todd, I hope this is over quick. But what I am saying is that given our track record in involvements in foreign wars like Iraq.
Oh, it's been terrible.
Vietnam, what starts that and what we think is going to be a short, quick victory can last decades or years, and it tears this country apart. And in a lot of other cases, we find out that the justification for even going to war was all based on a lie. And I'm not saying that Trump's lying. Okay, I'm just concerned just based on our track record and everything else.
I'll just tell you this, Charles. I think Iran should have been a glass parking lot the day that they bombed the Marine Corps barracks in Beirut. And that was never done. And honestly, I think a lot of the blame for the violence and the death and the destruction that Iran has caused over the decades, we bear some of the blame because we refuse to do anything about it. And Trump has been very consistent on that one point, going all the way back to the 1980s. He believed that Iran should have been dealt with. Charles, I've got to run, but let's see how this plays out. You keep giving us a call. And again, folks, you're not going to agree with everything I say, and that's perfectly okay. All right, we've got Mark in Collierville. Bill in Memphis. Hang tight, guys. Lines open, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, Todd, German Shepherd here. I'm just thankful that Donald Trump is not ruling and leading this country in a direction based on polls or the midterms. I'm glad that he's doing what's right for the country in spite of the midterms. And I'm just thankful for him, and I'm thankful for your show. Can't wait for your book to come out.
Well, thank you. German Shepherd, our good friend listening to us from Findlay, Ohio. Guess who's from Findlay, Ohio, Dylan?
Who's that?
Caleb Park.
Wow.
Yeah. And Ben Roethlisberger.
That's a fun fact right there.
And also Marathon Oil. I only know this because Caleb every time he's like, this is what Findlay is.
That's Findlay trivia right there.
There you go. All right, let's go right to our phones as promised. A very important day in America and not only the world. And I know a lot of people are just really conflicted about what is about to happen. I want to go to Mark in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. And Mark, I understand you're you're retired Air Force. What's on your mind?
I was around during the Gulf War. I was doing some things. And my concern is, of course, that the attack on Karg Island, if that's deemed where we need to go next, we've seen this during the Iraqi conflict where they sabotaged their own oil wells to prevent takeover. And I guarantee it, mark my words, that if we go on to Karg Island, if it happens tonight or whenever, I'm sure intel services have been looking at, what's been going on there as far as their own self-defenses, the Iranian self-defenses on Karg Island. But mark my words, and I hope the SEALs and the Rangers and all those tip-of-the-spear type of groups that are going to be leading this attack, I sure pray for their safety, because I guarantee you Iran is going to sabotage their own. If they see it going, everything going south, which of course it is, I guarantee you they're going to sabotage some of their own stuff to try and prevent us and the rest of the world from defeating them.
I would not put that past them at all, Mark. I will say this. You know, I've always had 1,000% confidence in our U.S. military, but after what I just saw happen over the weekend, I think it's like 2,000% support. I think our military, they're on top of things, and they know what the Iranians are going to do before the Iranians do.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Like I said, I'm just praying for our tip-of-the-spear forces, because they're the ones that get us a foothold everywhere we go.
Mm, well said. Mark, may I just brag on the great VFW post you guys have out there in Collierville, Tennessee? There's some fine, fine people that I've got to meet that are a part of that great group.
Yeah, well, I look forward to meeting you. Oh, and there's one other thing I meant to tell you. And you may have heard this in the past, that you have a face for radio.
Yeah. My makeup artist, this Mark, you're going to love this. We have a makeup artist that comes in and makes me look presentable for TV. She says it's like putting paint on a barn.
Yeah.
So, thank you for the compliment.
You're welcome. I enjoy your show. Thanks,
Mark. And God bless you. Thank you for serving our great nation. We really appreciate you, sir. All right. Let's go to Eric in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
First, I want to say this right here. This don't have anything to do with the Iran bombing. But the thing I don't like, that people just assume because that I'm black that I don't like Trump. And when people talk to me, they talk about Trump as though I don't. That because I'm black, that I'm not going to like Trump. I actually love Trump. I think he's doing a great job. But people need to realize Trump is smart. He's smart. And all these people talking about how he's people in Iran are putting these civilians at the power plants and on the bridge. Maybe that's a ploy, because Trump may have knew they was going to do that. Maybe that's a ploy to get all the civilians on the bridge he can actually bomb somewhere else. You never know.
Mark, or Eric, rather, you're right. You never know when it comes to President Trump. And let me say this. You're not alone. Eric, I think we have one of the largest black audiences in all of talk radio. Of course, my show is based out of Memphis, Tennessee. So we are proud to have many conservatives of all different colors, sizes, and persuasions listening to this radio program. God bless you, sir. Got to take a break, folks. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Dylan, I've been having a problem and getting up in the morning. I've been doing a lot of the book edits, the final edits, and I'm a procrastinator, so I've been getting into bed like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And so then when the alarm goes off at 5 o'clock, well, you know, I have it on the iPhone, and so then I reset it for 6 o'clock, and then I reset it for 7 o'clock. So it's like a perpetual thing, and I really need to be up like at 5 o'clock in the morning. So Wyatt Cox over at the Nevada Talk Network just sent me something, and I had actually seen a video on this, and I thought it was fake. But apparently there is a new alarm clock out there. It's called Wake Strike. Have you heard of this?
I have not. That sounds aggressive.
So it's like your regular alarm clock, but like when you're waking up at 5 o'clock and the alarm starts to go off, it's like wah, 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 and then from the top of the alarm clock rises up, and it's a target, and you actually have a gun by your bedside with a laser, and you've got to shoot the target to turn off the alarm clock.
Wow. So your eyes have to be open enough to shoot the target.
Probably stop. I have double vision. take out a coffee shop or something. It's terrible.
That's actually pretty creative, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a 100% customized alarm clock. So if you want to, you can play the national anthem at full volume, or it could be like a drill sergeant. Move your fat ass, starts. Oh, say, can you?
But regardless of what it is, you have to shoot it to wake up.
You got to shoot it. You got to shoot it to turn it off. I love this. All right, I know what I want for Christmas.
Yeah.
All right, absolutely. I'm writing this down. I'm hard to buy for. All right, hang tight if you're on the hold. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment, but I do need to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And our good buddy, we now call him the best political strategist in America, Josh Jones. Josh, good to see you.
Good to see you, Todd. That's a bold claim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, take ownership, man. So do you have a problem getting up in the morning as well? Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a night owl. I'm in the same lane. I set like 5 alarms back to back to make sure I get up in the morning.
Oh, man, it's brutal.
Yeah, but I'm going to take note of that for you. That way I know for Christmas or your birthday next, whichever, I'll get you that the gun laser
thing. I love that. It's, yeah, we're definitely. Let's talk politics. And needless to say, there is a lot of politics going on right now. A lot of Republicans very concerned about this war. How long will it go on? What's going to happen after 8 o'clock Eastern tonight? What say you?
That's a good question. I wish I had an answer for you in the sense of what's going to happen after 8 o'clock tonight. I mean, if people have been following the news today, I mean, you had it earlier this morning, a couple outlets reporting it's just the White House considering using a nuclear weapon, and now the White House has denied that. But have they said exactly what they're going to do at 8? No. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine in terms of what's going to happen at 8 tonight. But, I mean, I'll be watching.
Yeah, I think we all will be. We've also been watching what's happening in Virginia, where, you know, a lot of people were shocked that Republicans stayed home. They did not get out and vote. Democrats pretty much swept everything, and now it is so bad. I guess everybody has buyer's remorse now, Josh.
Yeah, yeah. You had a poll come out yesterday or the day before for Governor Spanberger where approval rating, she's only above water by 1 point, which is the most unpopular governor we've had in the last 25 years at this point in their term. Usually Virginia's governors, especially after her election last November, where she won pretty handily, for her approval ratings to have plummeted that much this short into her term, should be a warning sign for all the Democrats. And I mean, a positive for the Republicans. And look, I think at the end of the day, what it boils down to is Virginia voters care about kitchen table issues. They care about, you know, the cost of living, making sure their kids have a good education. But what do you see coming out of the Spanberger administration and all the Virginia Democrats? All they're talking about is this shameless power grab of the redistricting amendment where they're trying to draw out 4 Republican seats. I think you have a lot of voters in Virginia going, wait a second, I thought we were voting to lower costs and focus on making my life more affordable, not your political games.
That is a great point. When you look at Spanberger, there's a story in Breitbart that she has the lowest approval ratings of any governor in and the favorability numbers is what they're talking about. She has the worst favorability numbers of any governor so far in the 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total. What this also shows is that voters are paying attention, which is very important here and an important note for Republicans to take into this redistricting battle that's currently happening across Virginia. Is you can point to the Spanberger administration and the Democrats in Richmond and saying, what have they done since they've taken power in the last 3 or 4 months beyond push a liberal progressive agenda? What have they actually done to lower the cost of living or make energy more affordable or, you know, improve your kids' education? And the answer is they haven't done anything.
Josh Jones joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. If you have a question for Josh, you can give us a call or you can go on our YouTube stream and you can post your question there. And we'll be happy to ask that for you on your behalf. You know, Josh, Fox News has some polling data out showing the Democrats are really in a world of hurt. As a matter of fact, their Fox is citing the CNN poll. And it's the latest to indicate Democrats facing major problems with their party's image. Rahm Emanuel, a couple of days ago, was talking about that they've lost, you know, they've lost the narrative here, and that Democrats have gone too far on a lot of the issues, especially like, you know, boys and girls locker rooms and all of those 90-10 issues out there.
Agreed. I think, and it's unfortunate for them, but over the past 10 to 15 years, the Democratic Party has just ran to the left and gotten lost on all these culture issues that 90% of the country don't agree with. And they've really lost their brand. And I think you see that right now because the Democrats don't really have a national leader. There's no one necessarily the party saying, this is our person, this is going to be our person in 2028 or anything of that nature. Some people would say Hakeem Jeffries, maybe Chuck Schumer, maybe Gavin Newsom out in California. But I mean, they're all over the map right now. And I think voters are paying attention to that.
This is shocking. 28% of Americans questioned in this poll, only 28% view the Democrat Party in a positive way. 56% see the Democrats in an unfavorable light, which ought to be great news for the Republicans unless Republican voters stay home, which is what they did in Virginia.
Yeah, and that's the real concern right now because, look, Republicans are teed up for a good opportunity here this November because of these unfavorability ratings of the Democratic Party. But at the same time, if Republican politicians and people out on the campaign trail can't get the voters to come to the Republican voters to come to the polls, then it doesn't matter because Democrats are going to have a high turnout this November because this is a midterm where Republicans are in charge. So naturally, the party out of power is going to have a higher turnout. So you have to drive your voters to the polls.
Josh, I want to circle back to the big story of the day, of course, this war in Iran. I just, you know, after what happened over the weekend, and I know we had General John Tykert on earlier, and he said the same thing, that there were going to be a lot of young men going to military recruiting stations to sign up. And I look at your generation, and I see young men watching that and thinking to themselves, I want to be a part of that. And if the war continues with those kinds of stories coming out of it, I think this is a big win for the president. But if we get bogged down, Josh, what does the midterm look like at that point?
It's hard to tell as of right now because you see a lot of people comparing this, and it's a fair comparison, but you see a lot of people comparing this conflict to Iraq, for example. And what we saw out there and here is a little bit different because at the time, the U.S. Was an oil importer when we were involved in Iraq and the Middle East. But now America is an exporter of oil. So yes, energy prices are up, but we're not in the same situation we were back in the day. So that gives us a chance to get out of this a lot sooner. We'll see what the president and the secretary of war do, particularly at 8 o'clock tonight. But to your point also about recruiting numbers being up for the Pentagon and for our armed forces, I think that's a reflection of the commitment of this administration to have the back of our military and let our warriors fight wars rather than, you know, burying them in bureaucracy and all this other, you know, things what we saw under the Biden agenda.
I've got a question here. Greg B4902 writing, come on, I'm trying to read the small print here on the YouTube. But Greg has a question. He wants to know, Josh, what is your view of John Thune?
Look, I think what you see going on between the House of Republicans and Senate Republicans is there is, not to use the same term, but a House divided. You have the House Republicans under Speaker Johnson really pushing some of these pieces of flagship legislation, and the Senate moving very slowly, you know, to put it nicely, on some of those pieces of legislation. Look, I get that the Senate was designed to be the most deliberative body in our government and make sure our actual good policy is getting implemented. But at the same time, you got a couple months before the midterms. Hopefully, Republicans keep our majorities and it's not a big issue. But if we lose the majority in the House or the Senate, then the Trump agenda is stalled in Congress. And then Democrats, if they win in 2028, will just remove everything with the signing of a pen. So I think this should be a wake-up call to Senate Republicans in particular that you have to move quickly over the next couple months. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
How do you feel about this statement? They either need to get on board or get out of the way. But John Thune cannot stand in the way of the president's agenda.
Agreed. I mean, he has to help Republicans on the ballot this November by giving them a reason to come out to the polls. If Republicans can go to the voters this summer and this fall and say, look at all these pieces of legislation that we've passed and sent to the president's desk, that will motivate Republicans to come out to the polls and rehire them for the job. But if Republicans feel like nothing's happening in Congress, they're going to say, why should I come out and support this person if nothing's getting done? And that's the real crisis that leadership on the Hill has to address right
now.
That's
a great point. All right, Josh, good hearing from you. Good seeing you on our YouTube channel. And folks, keep sending in those questions, and we'll ask those of all of our guests. Josh, good to see you.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Josh Jones on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And again, if you have questions and you don't want to call in, you can certainly drop us a question over on our YouTube channel just search for Todd Stearns. All right, we've got to take a break, going right to our phone lines, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This segment, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Newsmax, and they want to make sure that you are getting your full Social Security benefits. You know, about 70% of Americans are not getting their full benefits. Now, we have come up with five key strategies to help you increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And Newsmax wants to send you that free special report. Again, all you have to do is call 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we're going to text you the information right away. Call 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, as promised, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Do you believe that President Trump should just end Iran tonight? The vice president under a little fire for insinuating that the United States may use nuclear weapons. I don't believe the United States is going to do that. And the vice president, it's interesting, you know, J.D. Vance has done a good job. He disagrees with the president on this, but he's keeping his objections under wraps. But we knew where he stood on all of this beforehand. But so I think he's been doing a good job of being a team player here. Let's go to the phones, though. Let's say hello to Lee in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lee. What's on your mind?
Man, one of the greatest radio talk shows in a long time. I heard it a long time. I am so proud of y'all over here, okay, man. I'm telling you, man. I am a Trump supporter, and I agree with everything the president is doing and everything he says. But, you know, some of the time when he says something that's kind of offhand, I kind of understand him. First, they try to kill him, and then you got the Speaker of the House, when his first term was there, tearing up his address to the nation. What do you expect? You can't only take so much. And then you say in bed with the Russians. What do y'all people expect? So I understand him. You know, I support him all the way. But I don't think they're going to use any nuclear weapons, because they got this committee, you know, dealing with the nuclear weapons all the nations over the world got. And I think it's just basically for defense, you know. On the offense, no, they ain't going to do that.
You know, it's my opinion. Lee, it's funny. Everybody's giving Trump a hard time about being profane, as if nobody uses bad language. I once heard, I don't know who this was, but they were one of our great religious leaders of all time. This goes back many, many, you know, decades and generations ago. But he said he would never trust a Christian who doesn't say a salty word every now and again. I'm just saying. Of course we are.
Come on now. We're not computers that program, you know. We make mistakes. We say things. Even I have made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's true.
I said something on the air I didn't mean to say, but it just come out like that.
It happens to all of us. Yeah.
I love the state talk by the president. We have all these phonies up here that's doing this kind of stuff, you know. Man, come out talking outside their mouth, man. So
it's
this
true.
President is great. He'll go down in history as one of the best and one of the true, real person, you know, a human being.
Lee, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell somebody, a friend of yours, you got to listen to KWAM, but we love what you have to say, and we sure do appreciate you listening to our show every day. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, it reminds me of LBJ, who was one of the most, actually, he was the most profane president we had. And he used to just not only curse like a sailor, but he was really inappropriate. As a matter of fact, he used to conduct his meetings on a toilet, very inappropriate, while he was on the toilet doing number two.
Number two?
Number two.
That's bad.
And he'd have the door open. Yeah. And he'd make the staff come in.
And I don't think they had poopery back then.
No, they didn't. Poopery. It's potpourri. That
well, Febreze, I call it poopery.
Poopery. No Febreze. No. They didn't have a window. Couldn't even open a window.
They're trapped
in terrible.
There.
But anyway, he was also known for, they called him Jumbo. Actually, he called himself Jumbo. That was a nickname he gave himself in college. And you can only imagine why. You can Google it. But let me just say this. On some occasions when dealing with world leaders, like, for example, Ho Chi Minh, he was known to unzip his pants and suggest that Ho Chi Minh did not have a jumbo.
Yeah, so you probably shouldn't Google it, actually.
So all things considered, I think we're doing pretty good. All things considered.
Yeah.
Yes. So. All right, here's the deal. Hang tight. We're getting to your calls. Coming up the next hour, also later in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Bunny Pounds, who's the founder and president of Christians Engaged. They're doing something really pretty awesome in our nation's capital. We're also paying very close attention to what's happening in the Middle East with Iran. 8 o'clock deadline on the way. We're taking your calls on that. And by the way, during the break, head over to Amazon and pre-order right now a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I want you to tell somebody about this book. I want the country to read this one. It's going to be an important, fun read. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting. Greg Abbott is in a world of controversy right now. Of course, he is the governor of the great state of Texas. And he was captured on video at a Diwali celebration. That's an Indian holiday. And the governor was making a pronouncement that Texas will be for the Indian community. And that has set off a lot of controversy. And as a matter of fact, one influencer writing, Greg Abbott declares Texas a place for the Indian community. What about Texans, Greg? Where do we go? What do they have on Greg Abbott to make him say this? He's not the only one. Another Republican leader. What a disgrace. Greg Abbott is pandering to every third world culture there is and is not doing a thing to protect Texas. And again, the governor saying Texas will be a land for Indians. Getting a lot of backlash. And I'm curious to know what you folks in the great state of Texas seem to think about this. You guys are getting inundated. A lot of people from California moving to Texas. You've got a massive and growing Islamic population in Texas. Oh, the president's under fire for a video he posted of the Mall of America in Minneapolis, where it looked like little Somalia. And that's not what the Mall of America used to look like 10 years ago. And so a lot of people, and by the way, this is not just Republicans, it's people in general, they're waking up in Collierville, Tennessee, for example, which is a beautiful, quintessential southern town. They have the town square and a very vibrant downtown area and just a bustling community. And over the past couple of years, people have started noticing, even in Collierville, Tennessee, where you've had a massive influx of Indian Americans. And people are wondering, what is going on? Why is the culture changing so fast? Well, it turns out it's all very intentional. So this is really not a surprise at all. So you just need to pay attention here, because even Republican lawmakers, they're doing the bidding of big business and the chambers of commerce. That's what they're after. So they're going to do whatever is necessary to keep those guys happy, because those guys are giving them campaign dollars. And one of the things that big business wants is cheap labor, and that's why they're bringing in so many people from these third world countries. So curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, this is interesting. Speaking of that, this is a woman, I believe, in Alpharetta, Georgia. Some of you folks in the Gainesville area know where that is. She says that the library is no longer going to be used as a polling station, and instead, people are being told they're going to have to go and vote on Election Day in a mosque. Take a listen to Cut 8.
Pardon how I look, but I had just cleaned off my makeup and wound down for the night when I got a disturbing message on my campaign website. A woman in Alpharetta said they all just received notification that they will no longer be voting at the Alpharetta Public Library. They will be voting at the Turkish Islamic Center in Alpharetta. She said, "We do not want to go to an Islamic center to vote in an American election. I do not blame them. That is insanity, especially when the CARE Super PAC, if you don't know what CARE is, it's the Council on American and Islamic Relations, is putting money into elections. They dropped a whole bunch of money into Mamdani's election. There is a lot of truth to the fact that they are trying to get these Muslims elected. There are none running in Alpharetta, but they are trying to influence elections by donating money. That needs to be switched back to the library. That should not be happening."
I just have one question. Are the female voters in Alpharetta, Georgia, when they go to vote on Election Day, are they going to have to wear the hijab? Will they have them available for the ladies at the door? Is that how that's going to work? Jeez, Lou. And of all places, Georgia. 901-260-5926. Now, a lot of people are saying that President Trump has lost a step, that he's just not the same Donald Trump. And look, no doubt, Donald Trump's getting old. I mean, we all get old. But the guy still has it all together. And I know all these folks like the Alex Joneses and Marjorie Taylor Greens, everybody's out there saying, "Oh, well, you know, he's not all there. He's mentally slipping." Dylan, I have proof positive that Donald Trump he's still got it all together.
Yeah?
The cheese has not slid off this man's cracker.
Sturdy cheese.
And I will direct you to what happened yesterday at the White House Easter egg roll. I don't know about you. I loved watching the president interacting with these kids, right? It was so fun. And it reminded me that this president is a very funny, funny man. So our team put together this montage of President Trump hanging with the children of America yesterday.
You remember the bunny with Joe Biden? Remember? You remember when the bunny took Joe Biden out? He's not taking Trump out. Anyway, that was a beautiful moment when the bunny saved Joe Biden.
Donald Trump, you're the best.
Thank you, honey. I agree.
You know who she is? She's a movie star who came in from Hollywood to be with mostly H-Bomb.
Sir, this is about eggs. Eggs.
Is there an auto pen around, please? Does anybody have an auto pen? You know, Biden used to follow him with an auto pen in the car. And he gave everything to the auto pen because he was incapable of signing, let alone running again.
So, Dylan, I just love the fact he's sitting around and he's talking to five-year-olds about the auto pen. Like, he's just having a conversation. Like, he knows that they know that, that Joe Biden was not signing autographs.
Yeah, yeah. He's just letting, he's reminding them of the, what could have been, maybe, or what it was in the past.
Donald Trump, you're the greatest. Yes, I agree. Yes.
Thank you for confirming. Yes.
I just think that's brilliant. But again, could you imagine, though? Let's just say, and you know, you've got a lot of people out there that smoke the doobie, the devil's lettuce, the Mary Jane. Could you imagine, though, you're sitting there watching the Easter egg roll on television, and all of a sudden you see President Trump up there, and he's talking about bombing the you-know-what out of Iran, and standing right beside him is the First Lady of these great United States and a giant Easter bunny. I think if you're doing the devil's lettuce, you probably got a little freaked out yesterday.
Yeah, that might have been the worst trip ever. Or the best trip, depending on how you see it.
By the way, Dorothea writing on social media about the situation in Alpharetta, Georgia. Todd, no way. I am not walking into a Muslim center to vote. What the flip-flop? Thank you, Dorothea. You gotta love it. 901-260-5926. This may be my favorite weird story of the day, Dylan. The leftists on TikTok are now, oh, by the way, we're doing TikTok now. This is sort of breaking news. I'll get back to that in a moment. But Ian, our digital media guy, says, you know what, Starnes, you need to be doing TikTok.
You do. You do. The Gen Zer have been waiting for you, and you've arrived.
It's the lips.
It's not the lips. It's a good social platform to be on.
So we're on TikTok. Look us up. I don't know how to do that, but look us up. We're there. So anyway, these white woke women, you know, they all need husbands, but here's the problem. It's a dilemma because nobody wants to marry them. No, I mean, would you? I mean, these are radical feminists. And they're just not very pleasant people to be around. So it's a dilemma. So anyway, this woke white chick is very upset that people are mowing their grass. She says that it's a form of white supremacy and is therefore racist. So people, if you're mowing your grass, you are a racist person. Take a listen.
I can't stop thinking about how grass lawns are racist. And, like, based in white supremacy. If that doesn't make sense, that's okay, I guess. It seems really obvious to me. It's really upsetting. Bring back weeds. Bring back clover yards. Look, can we just... Can anything just be okay in its natural state? Or do we just have to whitewash everything, make it a competition, and use it as a sign of your worth as a human being in society? Like, can we just have weeds?
Can we just have weeds? This reminds me of our good friend Kenny Crenshaw, who is a great sponsor of KWAM, the news radio station in Memphis, our flagship station. And he has a lawn maintenance business. And his slogan, Dylan, what is Kenny Crenshaw's slogan that everybody in Memphis, Tennessee knows? Let me kill your weeds.
He'll do it.
And he'll do it. Look, here's the deal. So we did a little research here, and this woman's very upset, and she says that manicuring a lawn is about white supremacy. So we went back and looked, and we did a little bit of a historical search, and it turns out that modern-day lawn management actually began in 1830, but it actually originated in the 16th century in Europe among European aristocrats. And so they were all about manicuring the lawns and close cropping the grass, and that was all seen as a symbol of wealth. Now, Dylan, you may be wondering, well, how did the poor people mow their grass back in like 1601?
I am wondering. Yeah.
Goats. And sheep.
Yeah.
They use the livestock.
See, that's a natural lawnmower right
like,
there.
Bah, bah, just back and forth. Like the,
yeah.
That was I think pretty that good. Was a sheep. I don't know what that good. Was.
It almost seems like you had one.
So anyway, We did this research and we determined that that's how it all started. And so did they have a point here? Are these white woke women? Because they're saying, how dare you? You should let the weeds grow naturally. And I'm wondering, okay, well, if they want to let everything be as it is, do they actually practice good hygiene? These woke white feminist women, do they bathe on a regular basis? Do they just, I don't know, stew in their natural juices? I'm just wondering.
Can you not say juices?
Sorry about that. So anyway, we did some more research. And it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a great irony to all of this, because it turns out that the man who invented the rotary blade used in lawnmowers is a black man by the name of John Albert Burr, who happened to be the son of slaves. And his design, which he had the patent for this, he became a very wealthy man. His design literally made it easier to cut grass. So all of you white, woke, smelly women out there, just be aware. I don't want to get into the weeds here, but just be aware. Unbelievable. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Harold in Warren, Ohio. Harold, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Todd, you know, the Democrats know that no Christian is going to want to go to an Islamic mosque to vote in the elections, and so that's why they want to have it in a mosque, so that they'll cut back on the Republicans voting if they got to go inside a mosque to do it. And if they got, if American women, especially Christian women, have to be humiliated by putting on one of those Islamic things to go into their vote, no one with any self-respect is going to do that, especially when the Islamists say, like under Anwar Sadat, he said, first we're going to kill all the Saturday people, which are the Jews, then we're going to kill all the Sunday people, which are the Christians, and now they're going to open up their doors and have us come in and vote. And even in their Sharia law, it tells them that if anybody says anything negative about Muhammad, they should be killed. And if a Muslim converts to Christianity, he must be killed. And yet, what crazy politician, it's got to be a Democrat, would allow these people to take over any part of America and fester and grow when they say that, they cut down the Lord, they say the Lord wasn't a part of the Trinity and he can't save anybody, but yet if you say anything against Muhammad, they got the right to kill you under their Sharia law. And they're telling police in neighborhoods, they're telling police, stay out of our neighborhood, we're invoking Sharia law here. So in a country that says thou shalt not kill, you can't go out and murder, they're allowing the Muslims to set up conclaves where they tell their people to murder if anybody says anything against Muhammad or anything else like that while they're attacking Christianity.
Harold, you know what I'm going to do, Harold? If, God forbid, I got to go vote in a mosque for Election Day, I'm bringing a big old bucket of ribs. That's what I'm
good.
That's what I'm good. Doing.
So, good. Would you? Yeah, but nobody with any self-respect is going to go in one of America's enemies and in one of God's enemies to vote for the. And they know that, so that's why they figure they'll win the midterms if they keep Christians out from voting. You know.
All right, Harold, I got to leave it there, my friend. We're running out of time for this segment, but I am sure to appreciate you calling. I like the way Harold thinks. I will say this to Dylan, I would. I'd walk in with a big old bucket of ribs. Hello, sir, would you like a burka? I'm like, no, but I'll take a wet wipe if you got one. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee, Bill, listening to us on KWAM. Bill, what is on your mind today?
Oh, ADHD moment, so lots of things. But I like your buddy that you had on there. Is it Tiger, the General Dragon?
Oh, yeah, the Dragon, General Tikert, yeah.
Yeah, I taught some people that he's affiliated with through the Hostage Search and Rescue Program of the Philippines, all that jungle fighting with knives in the dark stuff. I'm certified through the Philippine Marine Corps for their Philippine Marine Corps martial arts program. And so when the U.S. snipers would come there for that kind of stuff, like, that's what I did. And I was living my dream. I'm trying to get money together because they're asking me to come back every year. And I wasn't making money before. I want to go teach for free again, but I need money for other stuff. And unfortunately, I'm one of those throwaway veterans who's trying to get some Social Security or something so I have enough money to start a little beehives or something, get some business up.
Well, no such thing as a throwaway veteran on this program, Bill. We respect all of our military veterans.
Well, you know, I got that same old thing about, well, your injuries are not service-related. Well, no kidding. I'm 57. I've been out of the military for 30-something years, you know. But you can talk to people that actually matter in the military world. Somebody needs to be held accountable, whoever set up the Islamic regime and the banking system.
Well, we're gonna be all over that, Bill. Bill, they're cutting me off. I am so, so sorry, Bill, but you give us a call back. You're a great American patriot in our books. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, coming up tonight, we have a jam-packed show on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax. Bob McEwen and Jeffrey Lord are joining us. Also, Congressman Derek Van Orden, who's a member of the House Armed Services Committee. And, of course, we're trying to come up with a good name for our ladies' panel. And the network turned down Todd's Smoking Hot Conservatives Babe segment. They turned that down.
I wonder why.
I don't know. Yes, I think it was a very descriptive way to portray Mary Walter and Kay Smythe Hill. But anyway, if you guys have any great suggestions, give us a call. Anyway, Mary and Kay join us, and they're going to talk about the crazy news of the day. Well, probably one of the most important stories that we need to be talking about is something that's going to be happening in Washington, D.C., April 18th through the 25th. If you can't make it to Washington, don't worry, because you'll be able to watch it on Great American Pure Flix. And here to tell us all about what's going to happen, a national scripture reading. We're so honored to have Bunny Pounds with us, the founder and president of Christians Engaged and the visionary behind America Reads the Bible. Bunny, what an honor to have you with us.
Well, it is an honor to be here, Todd. Thank you for highlighting this national moment that we're never going to forget.
No, and we're not going to forget it. And I just love any organization or event that is promoting Bible reading. I have great respect for those organizations. And I'm wondering how you came up with this idea.
Well, I was in the Museum of the Bible 2 years ago with a whole bunch of young people that we had brought to Washington, D.C., and I had just finished a new book that is coming out May 19 called Stepping Up to Lead, Rebuilding a Nation in the Footsteps of Nehemiah. And I've been a former congressional staffer and campaign manager for a long time working in government, and I've always been fascinated with Nehemiah. But as I was watching Ezra read the scroll to the Israelites, I just started weeping, and I thought, this is the problem with American church, why it's so hard to get people to get outside the walls of the church and share the gospel or run for school board or take over their chamber of commerce, is that we don't know who we are. And just like ancient Israel, we need a reminder call of that. And so I had this random thought that day, wouldn't it be awesome if our national leaders from all demographics, all denominations and backgrounds would humble themselves and say, we need the Bible every day to make it, and you, the American people, need the Bible every day to make it. And what if we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in the backdrop of our 250th birthday of our country? And that's how it started, and here we are today.
I understand that it has been so well received, and a lot of folks, I think just about everybody that's going to be reading from the Bible has been on either my TV show on Newsmax or the radio show. But give us an idea of who all is going to be participating in this.
Well, we have six cabinet members. We have Susie Wiles, the White House chief of staff, and more important people coming from the White House soon. We have six governors, 20 members of Congress, Hollywood stars like Patricia Heaton. Everybody Loves Raymond is starting Genesis 1 and 2. My great national spokespeople, Candace Cameron Bray from Full House and Great American Media, and Cameron and BJ Arnett from the Forge movie. But we have everybody from farmers to hospice care workers to single moms to over 122 national ministries that are partnering with us and sponsoring this. Todd, it has really been an amazing moment. And on April 18, we're going to have an opening celebration that'll be on radio across the country and also live streamed on Great American Media with leaders sharing their testimonies related to the Bible and us calling the American people back to the Bible. And then 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for 7 full days, Genesis to Revelation, with 16 national worship leaders filling in the gaps of prayer and worship at the end of each hour. And I just am so thankful for every single of our 500 readers and every single ministry that's participating with this.
And Bunny, if people want to get information on all of this, they can go to your website. Is that where you're directing folks?
Yes, AmericaReadsTheBible.com. AmericaReadsTheBible.com, and follow us on social media, and you can see all of the things. I mean, it's going to be great. Mike Huckabee's even reading Genesis 12 and 13 from Jerusalem. It's going to be epic.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful. And AmericaReadsTheBible.com, and guys, we'll put that up on our live stream as well so people can see that website address, AmericaReadsTheBible.com. Bunny, we're going to be doing this April 18th through the 25th. What happens after that? What do you hope people get out of this event?
Well, we're praying for two things, Todd. Number one, complacency and apathy has broken off our hearts as far as the body of Christ with our relationship to the Bible, that we understand that God wants to speak to us every day. And the best way that he speaks to us is through his word, the truth and the spirit. So, and we're praying for the American people that might see these media clips. You know, we'd love to have you come to the museum and be a part of our media row. But we're believing all of this stuff that's going to be circulating, whether it's Fox News, Newsmax, across the country, are going to stir Americans that, man, maybe I should pick up a Bible right now. But we have 14 national ministries that are giving away all their Bible reading and discipleship programs for free. And people can check that out at AmericaReadsTheBible.com as well. We want to see people read the Bible every day.
Well, it's a noble quest, and we certainly wish you guys nothing but the best. Again, folks, AmericaReadsTheBible.com. You'll be able to get all the information, and also you'll be able to see a number of the people that are going to be there, including our friend Franklin Graham was just on the show a few days ago, and Pete Hegseth, Ted Cruz, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, just among many, many others. Bunny, thank you for putting this together. What a great, great idea. And I'm excited. I truly believe more people are going to be reading the Bible as a result of this.
Well, we believe that too, Todd. And we're so thankful for everybody helping amplify this. And everybody amplify the Word of God as these things go out over these 8 days. Think about how you can use it in your community, your family, your church, and your business.
All right, Bunny, we're going to leave it there, and thank you again for joining us, the founder and president of Christians Engaged and the visionary behind America Reads the Bible. Thanks, Bunny.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Well, there you go. That's going to be an exciting thing. I do wonder, I'm concerned about this, Dylan. What if Tim Burchett, good guy, been on the show many, many, many times, filled in as a guest host. And I'm just concerned Tim Burchett's reading the Bible in the beginning, dadgummit. God created the heavens and the earth, dadgummit.
It's just flavor. It's flavor.
And the little midget alien people.
I don't think that's in the Bible.
That's not in the King James Version. Dadgummit. I'm just saying.
I would like to hear that, though.
I would, right? I would, too. Yeah. I would love to. Absolutely. Or the guy that's, who is it? Who's the old fogey guy? He's on Landman.
Sam Elliott. Yes. Oh, that would be great.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
Could you imagine me doing the whole 3 hours like that?
I can. I can imagine it. I just don't think it would be helpful for your voice.
Let's go to the phone lines. Jerry the Liberal. He's from Milwaukee. Oh, you're right. That does kind of hurt a little bit.
You need a lot more honey.
I need some of that lip balm.
Oh, it's not going to help your voice.
Oh, wait a second. God. All right. Wow. What do we do from here? We're gonna take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is why they didn't invite me to read a chapter. They were afraid I might go rogue. I should have asked Bunny what version of the Bible they're using. You know, that's going to make a difference. Some of these newfangled versions. I went to one of those fancy churches, one of the newfangled with the American Idol cover bands.
Yeah.
I was visiting. This is years ago. And I came from like organ and piano church.
Yeah.
Right? There was not even an orchestra. Those things didn't even exist when I was going to church growing up. So you had like organ and piano. So anyway, this is one of these churches. They had like a rock band. And we got together to pray. I'll never forget this. I was like 18 years old, fresh off the farm, and we're holding hands in a circle, which was, you know, I'm a Baptist,
yeah,
and we don't
new.
We can't raise our we're not genetically built like that.
Yeah, those belong in the pocket.
Right. You there. Can't raise your hand unless you have a question.
Yes.
So
it's true.
So anyway, we're in this worship service, and somebody had invited me to this, and the college ministry was larger than my entire church, you know, so it was just a huge crowd, somewhat overwhelmed. You've got the rock band, and you're like, wait a second, I thought drums were of Satan. I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. I thought maybe they were Methodist or something. And so then they pray, and I remember we were holding hands, and that felt weird, and then they start. This is great. So they start praying, and I thought, wait a second, I don't pray out loud. So I was sweating bullets because I'm like, people started praying. They were going around the circle praying.
Yeah.
And so I realized when it was my turn, I didn't know what to, so I just squeezed the other person's hand next and they kind of skipped over me. I didn't know what to do. I know they're thinking I'm a heathen. I'm just from a country Baptist church. We don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they probably look down on you. That's a judgment. That's
and
what the church
then is. The guy prayed, oh, Daddy Jesus.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what'd you just say? Oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. He just kept saying, oh, Daddy, over and over again. And I'm like, the first thing, I like dropped the guy's hand. I mean, that was weird enough, but then he's praying. Anyway, I guess that's, you know, and people are comfortable. I mean, that's how some people relate to God. You know, I'm just more, you know, normal.
Respectful.
Yes, thank you.
Father.
That too.
Yeah.
It was like my turn to pray. And I was like, man, you're a rockin'. And I'm like, Almighty, most holy Father, we cometh before thee. That was my turn. Can we just chant? Have a moment of holy chanting. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Dylan, you're not going to believe this. GenZ.Bible.com. They have a Bible just for Gen Z. This makes me very nervous. They said the traditional translations can feel distant. The Gen Z Bible brings scripture to life in language that connects with how you actually talk and think. Is that true?
We're looking up verses right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Not going well.
Is it not? I want to hear a verse. This is terrible.
Okay. Matthew 6, verse 1 says, yo, listen up.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does. Don't be flexing your good deeds in front of everyone just to impress them. If you do that, you won't get any props from your heavenly Father. Keep it low-key, fam.
Here we. So John chapter 1 verse 1, the King James Version, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And in the Gen Z version, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No cap. That's the ultimate vibe. The same was in the beginning with God. That's King James version. The Gen Z version, the same was in the beginning with God. Straight up, they were homies from day one.
Don't have to add those things.
Why are you adding to God's word here? Isn't that straight up?
That's what the period is for.
I'm not digging this vibe.
Yeah, vibe's off. No cap.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light was shining, but the dark was sus. Didn't get it. This is not real. Is this
real? It's a full-on website. It has every single Bible verse.
This is shocking. You know what? We've got to get a pastor. We've got to get one of our pastors on. We'll get Dr. Jeffress on to talk about this.
Yeah.
What does it say about the Lord's Prayer? That's what I want.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one to know.
Oh, my gosh. So they have like an app and everything. Scripture that actually makes sense. Well, why don't you read the Bible for yourself? That's what I don't understand. My goodness. It's getting 5-star reviews, by the way. They're saying the easiest of the translations to understand. It makes the Bible feel accessible. I love the Bible chat. You ask it tons of different questions, and it gives you a biblical answer. Well, you hope so, but I don't know. I stopped so many bad habits and finally grew as a Christian and built a relationship with God. So it's called the Gen Z Bible. Is it all online? I guess it can't be an actual physical book because Gen Z, they don't read books.
Yeah, that would make more sense to be an app.
Mm.
But this is, it's a little, there's a lot of red flags here. I mean, I don't know. If it aligns, then maybe, but it seems like it's just adding a bunch of words you don't actually need. Changing words.
Yeah, it's just odd. So the, let's see here. I'm scrolling through the book of Romans right now, and I just don't know. You know, this is going to be a good question to ask the Lord when you get to heaven. You know, what do you think about the apps?
Yeah.
You know, I think at some point, you know, it's weird because I still go to church with like a regular Bible, you know, an actual real Bible that you hold.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are not even doing that. You know, they're either not bringing one or they've got the Bible on their smartphone. And I always feel weird doing that because I think people are judging me for, you know, oh, he's texting, you know, during the service.
Well, that's what the whole point of bringing the actual Bible is. So you don't end up texting when you're on your Bible app,
mm-hmm.
get the notifications. But yeah, I think it's always good to bring the physical Bible.
Anyway, I'm just curious. Yeah, have we found the Lord's Prayer yet?
It's so different that I don't even know if I can find it because it's like way off.
Or it could be like the big man's prayer or something. Yes, I'm trying to think what is the Gen Z equivalent to God?
Probably not daddy. It can't have daddy, right?
Oh my gosh.
The daddy's prayer.
That brings back so many bad memories. And they're not that bad. It's just weird memories.
Yeah.
You know, you go to church one way your whole life, and then all of a sudden you know, I don't know, it's all very strange to me.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. It does remind me, though, of the great Southern Gospel song, If John the Baptist Used the King James Version, It's Good Enough for Me. There you go. All right. By the way, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, don't forget the Todd Starnes Show. We're going to have wall-to-wall coverage as we hit this 8 o'clock deadline tonight. And we don't know what's going to happen, folks. Nobody does. Only the president, only the war secretary. So whatever you see on social media, just take it with a grain of salt and wait until you hear from the president of the United States. We're going to be talking about that tonight, 8 o'clock, or rather 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Also, be sure to pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can pre-order it right now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you get your books. All right, it has been a fun day. Hey, don't forget, head over to the website, toddstarnes.com. You can download our podcast. Go back and listen to our great interview with General Tykert. And also, folks, get out there and you have a great day, America.